come to the study of the Word of God. I want to consider a question that's been submitted to me by one of the members in our Ask the Pastor series. And this question that you see there before you tonight is one that has been debated and misunderstood by many over the years. It's been a topic, or a favorite topic, for those who are skeptics of the Bible and trying to prove that there are various contradictions found in the Word of God. Tonight, as we study the question together, does God repent? I'm convinced that you and I will understand that there is no contradiction and there really is no controversy, although many are afraid to answer such a question as this. And again, we want to consider that thought. What does it mean when the Bible says that God repents? Does God really repent? So we want to give some thought and some understanding to that tonight. And I trust the Lord will help us. Again, we're going to look at a number of different passages of Scripture tonight. Most of them will be up there for you on the screen this evening, on the wall. And I trust it'll be a help to you because we'll be able to move through rather quickly tonight. But I want to consider that thought. Does God repent? But before we consider that question and we consider the Scriptures, let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray tonight that you'd bless as we come now to the study of thy word and the study of this question, understanding what it means when the Bible says that our God repents, even though he is a God who is unchanging. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us, that you would help us. And Lord, that we would see even as some would come to such a question as this with the purpose that they might prove the contradictions within the Word of God. That Father, we would understand as your people, there is no contradiction, there is no controversy, but thy Word is true and it's infallible, it's inerrant, and we can trust in it. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for that. So Father, we ask you and pray your blessing tonight as we come to the study of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to ask again the question, does God repent? As we do so, I want to begin by considering the supposed contradiction that is often found by those who are skeptics of the Word of God. Whenever that question is raised, does God repent? There's always those who try to point out the very contradictions that we find in the Bible. And those contradictions stem from various statements that are made in the Word of God that they say or claimed that the Bible says two different things. And so what the Bible says at one time on one hand, now it's saying something that is contradictory on the other. So tonight I want you to see both sides of the statement as the Word of God shares it. So as we begin tonight, I want you to see the passages which say, wait a minute, that's not moving on, is it?
That's because I went the wrong way. Sorry about that. Like I said, I'm getting used to these things.
Verses that say that God does not repent. There are several for us to consider tonight. The first is found in Numbers 23 and verse 19. We read these words. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said that he, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 1 Samuel 15 verse 29 says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Ezekiel 24 14 tells us, I am the Lord, I the Lord have spoken it, it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to the ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Malachi 3 verse 16, familiar to many of us, says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13, 8, we know that says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. These passages, each one clearly indicates that our God is one who will not repent, who will not change. We understand that by the doctrine of the immutability of God. That our God never changes. Our God, the Bible says, will not repent. And how do you deal with passages as follows? Passages that say that our God does repent. Passage such as Genesis 6:6. The Bible says, "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Exodus 32:14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." 1 Samuel 15:35, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." 2 Samuel 24:16, "And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, 'It is enough, stay now thy hand.'" Jeremiah 18:8, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." We know the story of Jonah very well. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. And he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Here we have on one hand God stating in his word, "I am the Lord, and I will not repent. I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no variableness nor shadow of turning with me." And then even in the same chapters as some of those statements, we read that the Lord repented. That the Lord changed in his mind or his actions toward a group of people. Isn't that a contradiction of the Bible? How do we begin to deal with those things and understand what it means when the Bible says that God repented? I want to look now at some scriptural considerations. And I think as we come to these things, these clarifications can help us as we seek to draw proper conclusions. And I think there are three things that will help us to draw a proper conclusion. The first is found in this. A clarification of the term. If you and I are going to make a right decision and come to the right conclusion and have a right interpretation of what the Bible says that God repented, then you and I better understand and know what that word repent in the Old Testament means. The reality is you and I come and we think of repentance on our terms. We think about what it means for us to repent, and we then take that concept and we give that to the Lord, that the Lord does the same thing that we do. We repent of our sin, and the same concept of that repentance, that changing of our mind, is the same thing that God does when he repents. But there we need to understand a clarification of the term if we're going to know what it means when God says that he repents. In the Old Testament, the most common word for the word repent in the Hebrew language is the word nakam. Nakam. That word properly means to sigh, to breathe strongly. By implication, the word means to be sorry. That Hebrew word, repent or nakam, means to sigh. You can almost get that image. To breathe heavily, to feel sorry. And so the Bible says that our God would repent of certain things. He would feel sorry, or he would sigh over those things. And we're going to consider some passages together in a moment. It also has this idea with it, and it can also be understood that the word repent can mean to embark on another course of action in response to the decisions of another. So that word repent or nakam can simply mean to change the course of action or to go a different direction based on the decision that someone else would make. So I want you to get those definitions in mind, because we need to understand that in reference to when we read those passages, that our God repented, that he would feel sorry or embark on a new course or a different direction. And again, we're going to define that more clearly. There is another word, however, in the Hebrew, and that's the word shub. That word translated repent speaks of a man turning back from his sin and going in the way of righteousness. That's the concept that you and I know. I am going now in my sin, and God convicts my heart, and I turn back, and I come again to the Lord. The Bible tells me that all we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone our own way. And the concept of that word shub is that I turn from my sin and I turn again unto the Lord. That word shub is never used in the Old Testament in reference to God. It is only used in reference to man and his sin. You will not find a passage that says God shubbed, so to speak. But it will say that God nakam. He repented, he felt sorry, he chose a new course. But it doesn't mean he turned from sin to righteousness. And someone to come and put that term shub into every other place that we find that the Bible says God repented. And therefore they try to stir up a controversy. There is another thought that will help us, though, not only the clarification of the term, but the consideration of the context. Not only do we have to understand the term, but you and I also have to always consider the context of the verse that we read. To take any verse out of its context is dangerous and will often lead to an improper interpretation. We don't have the time tonight to look at every one of those passages that we read earlier. But I do want you to look at a couple with me tonight, and I want you to see the context. Because as you see the context, it helps us to understand what it means when it says that the Lord, or God, repented. I'd ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. As you look at Genesis chapter 6, someone tell me what the context or what the story is. Who is the main character in Genesis chapter 6? Who? Noah. So as we come to Genesis chapter 6, we realize that we're going to find this one, Noah. What is taking on in Noah's day? What's taking place in Noah's day? Great wickedness. You look with me, if you would, down to Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. By time we come to Noah and his generation, because of sin, the Bible says that every imagination of the thought of man was only evil, except for one man. Noah. And Noah would find grace in the eyes of the Lord. In that context, I want you to see what it says in verse 6. And it repented. Nakam. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. How do we understand that then? He was sorry he had made man because of the evilness and the wickedness of man and sin. God made man for what purpose? To glorify Him. Give me another one. Fellowship with Him. Sin does what between man and God? It also brings judgment. And God, as a holy God, would have to judge man whom He made. It repented the Lord that He made man. In that context, it's not hard to understand the statement that the Lord repented. Is it? There's no controversy there. There's no difficulty for us to understand. The Lord repented. I want you to go to Numbers 23 now. Numbers 23. Verse 19 tells us, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. He hath said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Some struggle with that statement, and then to find that God says that He repents. When God clearly says He is not a man that He should repent. What's the context? Who's the main character or characters of the story in Numbers 23? Balaam. Who is Balaam? Dumb prophet that a donkey would speak to. Put it bluntly. Dumb prophet. That God had to use a dumb donkey to speak to get through to him. Who else is the other character? Balak. Who is he? He's a king. Friend or enemy of God in Israel? He's the enemy. What does he want Balaam to do? He wants Balaam, a prophet of Israel, to curse his own people. God refuses, does He not? And through Balaam's lips, He curses whom? Balak. Balak cursed the enemy of God. When you come to verse 19, Balaam is speaking a parable unto Balak. And he is making it known to Balak, the enemy of God, who sought the harm of God's people, that God has made a decision and is bringing judgment upon him and his people, and he is not a man that will repent. He will not change in this matter. He will not feel sorry or change his direction. Judgment was sure. Bob.
I use a new King James Version.
Yep. Correct. It says that he should not lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent, hath he that what he hath said. And so what he is saying is to Balak, there is judgment, and I don't lie. There is judgment, and I'm not turning back. You will face the judgment of God. When you understand that within the context, that term repent isn't all that difficult to deal with in relation to another term when God says that He does repent. It's important that we always remember that the context of the verse determines the understanding and interpretation of that word repent. We cannot create controversy by simply pulling a few verses out of their given context. Because when we do that, we're going to come to the wrong interpretation. Each verse and each statement is made in a context. And so you have to understand that
context, and you have to consider that. You can't come and say, well, in Genesis it says that God repents, but in Numbers it says that God doesn't repent. See, God is a liar. No, each comment is in a context. And each context has to be understood, and we'll find there is no controversy. In fact, in Jonah chapter 3, we find that the Lord repented of the evil that he intended to bring upon the city of Nineveh. God sent Jonah to preach the importance of repentance because judgment had been determined upon them. When God saw that the people repented, they turned aside from their sin. Hebrew word, shub. When God saw that they repented, he nakamed. He repented of the evil that he would have done. He changed the course of action, and to those people, he showed his mercy and his grace. By the way, how did Jonah respond to that? Positively or negatively? He was mad. You know why Jonah was mad? Because Jonah understood this about God. He does not change in his character. And he would never do anything that his character says he had to do. And God, when he offers the opportunity for one to repent, and they repent, won't bring judgment, but instead will show mercy. And Jonah didn't want them to receive mercy. But God is willing to change the course in relation to the decisions of men. Remember, God does not change in that he always is willing to show grace to those who humble themselves and repent. There's a third thing I want you to see which will help us with this question, and that is the conceptualization of the doctrine. And I want you to see the concept and understand what we mean when we talk about the immutability of God. Some come to that statement that God repented and say, see, God is not immutable. God does change. And that's a problem for them. Because God repented, or he changed the course of direction. So what does it mean that God changed when the Bible says he doesn't change? Understand the doctrine of immutability. When we speak of the immutability of God, we are referring to the fact that God is unchanging in his nature, in his essence, in his character. I want you to read with me a statement made by Henry Thiessen in his book of Systematic Theology. He says this: all change must be to the better or the worse. But God cannot change to the better, since he is absolutely perfect. Neither can he change to the worse for the same reason. When you talk about the character of God, when you talk about the nature of God, when you talk about the attributes of God, can God become more holy? Can he get better in holiness? If he does, that means he was never holy. Now we have a problem. Can God become more loving? No. Can God become more omniscient? More omnipotent? No. Those things will never change. Can he become less of those? Can God become less holy and still be God? Can he be less loving and still be God? Can he be less powerful and still be God? No. In his nature and in his character, our God never changes. He never gets better. He never gets worse. He is always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the understanding of that statement. In his nature, in his character, he does not change. But here's what I want you to see tonight. God is immutable. That doesn't mean he's immobile. Just think about that for a minute. He is immutable, but it doesn't mean he's immobile. God is active. And as a God who is active, he has entered into relationships with men who are not immutable. Folks, we are always changing. How many of you are the same person you were on the day you were saved? How many of you have the same love that you had when you were first saved? Or has it increased or decreased over the years? Most of us would have to look at that characteristic and say, at times I've been good and at times real bad. Let's talk about the one that we talked about on Sunday, humility. How many of you would say, I have reached the absolute level of humility? If you raise your hand, you're in trouble. Right? That one goes up and it goes down and it fluctuates. Are we always as gracious as we should to those around us? No. Are we always as merciful as we should? We're always changing. How many of you have ever changed your position about a certain Bible doctrine? I have. I used to say some statements when I was in college really strong and really firm, because I thought that was the thing to do. No, I don't say them that way anymore. No, why? Because I've come to the Word of God and I've studied it further and I've come to different conclusions, and you know what's going to happen in the years to come? I'm going to change again. Not in the cores and the fundamentals, but some of my finer interpretations and understandings will change. And an immutable God who does not change in his character is not immobile. He is actively involved with you and I, who always change. So therefore, it's necessary that he change his course of action with man. Let me give you another statement. It is necessary for an unchangeable God to change in his dealings with changing man in order to remain unchangeable in his character and purposes. God's immutability consists in his always doing the right and in adapting the treatment of his creatures to the variations in their character and conduct. And when you understand that statement, you and I will say, amen. How many of you want God to deal with you in the very way he would have on the night before the day you were saved? None of us. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've experienced the wonderful saving grace. Don't you want God to change in the way he deals with you as a saved person from the way he would have as an unsaved person? We certainly would. Aren't you thankful that when the people of Nineveh repented of their evil, God repented of what he would have done, which was bring judgment upon them, and instead now deals with them in his mercy and his grace? You should, because they're Gentiles like we're Gentiles. And how he dealt with them is the way he deals with us. God has to change the course of direction at times, because we're ever changing. There are times because of sin, the Lord has to chasten. And when we repent, what's the Bible says? If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. We serve a God who changes in his dealings with us, but he doesn't change in who he is. His character never changes. And I'm glad for that. Because, folks, when I sin, I can always come to the Lord and confess, and he'll deal with me because his character demands that he does. When I talk with someone who is unsaved, and we begin to share the truth of them, a man like Lee Ryan, and we share the truth of the gospel, and we try to help him understand what it means to be saved. When that man begins to understand it and see it, and he says, I want to be saved, and he calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior, at that moment, God will deal differently with him. And in his character, he'll accept him and save him. What a wonderful blessing. Our God does change. Not in His character, not in His essence, and not in His nature. You and I shouldn't be worried about a statement that says that the Lord repented and He wouldn't do the evil that He had intended to do. I like those statements in the Scripture. I see God's mercy and His grace there. Does our God repent? Yes. When you understand the term and what it means, and you understand the context that you find those statements in, and you know the doctrine of the immutability of God, it's not a problem. There's no contradiction. There's no controversy. Our Bible, the Word of God, is inerrant. Our Bible is infallible. We can trust every word because our God in His person and in His perfections will never change. But He will at times change in the way He deals with man. And sometimes the Bible says that He repents. He changes the course of action. And for that I'm thankful. For that we ought to rejoice because He did that for you and me. We long for Him to do that with those around us, our family that we pray for, our neighbors and our co-workers and those who need Christ. What a blessing to know that He is the Lord and He changes not in character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But towards us as His people who are always changing, God responds to us and He works with us and He helps us and He meets our needs, which means at times He changes His course of action in relation to you, relation to me, and in relation to others. There is no controversy. There is no contradiction. The Lord Himself will never change. But at times, He changes in His dealings with mankind. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight that we can come and consider these things together. And Lord, we ask and pray that You would give us understanding of this wonderful blessing, that You are a God who never changes in Your character, in Your person, in Your perfections. Those attributes that we study and are so grateful for never change. But Lord, at times because we are a changing people, You will change in the way that You deal with us, in the things that You will accomplish within our lives. At times You will chasten and others You will show mercy based upon our response to You. And Lord, we thank You for that. So Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged tonight through what we see in Thy Word. And we'll thank You, Father, and praise You for it. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.